A senior U.S. defense official confirmed to reporters today that two Ukrainian missiles hit the Russian guided missile cruiser Moskva in the Black Sea. The ship was heavily damaged in the attack on Wednesday, and later it sank. Ukraine claimed it attacked the Moskva, while Russia blamed a fire and explosions for the loss. There's no word on casualties. In the hours since the sinking, Russia's defense ministry announced it will step up its attacks on the capital, Kyiv. And today, Russia said it hit a machine factory on the edge of the city. So let's go to Kyiv now and to Robert Klemko with our editorial partners at The Washington Post. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks for being here. So first, to these latest strikes around Kyiv, including the Russian report that it hit a machine building plant, can you tell us about that?
We are able to confirm that that is accurate, that there was a missile strike in Kyiv last night. We're not quite sure exactly what was being produced there or how effective the strike was. There has been some relative calm here in Kyiv before this bombing. Many of the city's normal operations have resumed. And I think that while there wasn't a false sense of security here because the effects of recent days in the war are still fresh here for a lot of people, there was a sense that maybe the worst in the short term was over for Kyiv.
The Russian guided missile cruiser Moskva sank yesterday in the Black Sea. You know, it was after a fire and explosion on board, which Ukraine says was the result of them hitting the ship with missiles, and Russia denies that. We should say that the Pentagon says it can't confirm what happened. So I'm wondering if you can explain, what's the significance of the loss of this cornerstone of the Russian fleet?
Well, even before this war, it was a relatively well-known ship. There are several different instances of Vladimir Putin making speeches and appearances and declarations on board the ship. And then you add to that the fact that early on in the invasion, this was the same ship that approached Snake Island, from which the Ukrainian soldiers told the ship to go F itself.
A really famous moment at the beginning of this conflict.
Right. And so that phrase, Russian warship, go F yourselves, has been repeated over and over here. It's on a lot of the propaganda posters. You can't drive to Kyiv from Lviv without seeing it at least a dozen different times. So for that ship to have sunk and for Ukraine to claim that, you know, they sunk it, I think is an enormous morale boost to the people here just because it, you know, it ties into the beginning of the war.
You know, one of the difficult processes of this war that you've been reporting on is how Ukrainians have been getting material and military supplies to their combatants. Now, that has been a critical challenge to the response to Russian attacks. I'm wondering if you can explain how that process works.
Sure. I think that a lot of the armed forces personnel here are pretty surprised at how flexible the Ukrainian government has been in its desperation. You know, we have been here for weeks. We had reporters here before the war. A colleague of mine, Alex Horton, embedded with a sniper unit, and they openly complained about a lot of the bureaucracy holding up some of the equipment that they needed to fight the war in Donbass. And now, fast forward 6-7 weeks later, and you have all of these different volunteer networks of civilian Ukrainians who are able to get supplies and even high-end military supplies to the front that the Ukrainian government doesn't necessarily have access to. And Ukraine has created an environment where that is possible. Certainly, necessity is the mother of invention, and in this case, it's the mother of flexibility.
It's a lot of work across a lot of sectors of the country, it sounds like.
Yeah, you know, everybody that's still here in the country is playing a part, a role in this war, and everybody feels like a part of their own front line, or they're on their own front line. I've heard that phrase numerous times, you know, from the volunteer who's getting a drone to the front, to a police officer who is manning a checkpoint, to the coroner at the morgue who is identifying war crimes victims.
Now, this is all happening as Ukrainians are trying to document evidence of war crimes to create a case for a charge that is notoriously hard to prosecute. What does that involve?
It's a meticulous process. We talked to Irina Venediktova, who was the prosecutor general several days ago. She said there were over 50,000 people involved in the investigation of war crimes. And so that starts with interviewing victims who are displaced people, refugees, to, you know, the death investigators who are on the ground doing the initial accounting of injuries and cause of death. to the prosecutors who are now building this database of cases and trying to put names to all of these, in many cases, mutilated bodies. Ukraine certainly wasn't ready for this sort of tragedy. And then add to that, there's no electricity and there's very little infrastructure available in some of the suburbs of Kyiv that were hardest hit. So there's a lot of strain here in Kyiv where there is still electricity, where there are still resources to process all of these deaths and all of these bodies and try to understand as quickly as they can what happened to these people.
Robert Klemko, reporting for The Washington Post from Kyiv. Robert, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.